Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Thank you guys so much for coming out. I know it's a Friday night and it's just so wonderful to be with you all this evening as we remember the great sacrifice that Jesus made by going to that cross. How many of you here have seen that new movie, A Case for Christ? Can I see your hands? If you haven't seen that movie, guys, go and see it. It is absolutely incredible. It's about a guy that tries to prove that the crucifixion wasn't real. And the story, it's a true story, and it is absolutely brilliant. It was one of those movies where I laughed and I cried and I got upset and it was just so awesome. But at the end of the day, to see someone who really, I don't want to spoil the story, go watch it. Amen. Amen. It's such a wonderful story. And this time of year when we're looking at the cross, a movie like that is just so appropriate. Amen. From the very beginning, Satan had a plan to separate us from God. He did not want us to have fellowship with God because he'd lost that. And he was on this earth thinking he could have his way. So man came into the world and God gave man everything they needed. Amen. But the enemy desired to destroy the communion between God and man. And right from the beginning, as soon as Adam fell in the garden, God immediately put a plan in place to restore man and himself. Amen. And Jesus was that plan. Can you say amen? Amen. In John 10:10, it says this: the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. How many of you know that there is an enemy out there that wants to keep you from being in relationship with God, and he'll do everything he can. And when he works on messing up your relationship, he does everything he can to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus came into this world to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. But not only do we have life, we also have relationship. Amen. And on the cross, relationship was restored to us. And I don't know about you, but it is absolutely awesome. And tonight's going to be a little different. I'm not going to go crazy. Amen. I like going crazy, but not tonight. Amen. Tonight, I want us to just remember a few things that Jesus said that are so profound and have such a lot of incredible meaning. And, you know, I was watching, you know, this week after I watched The Case for Christ, I got home and it was late and I just decided I was going to watch Son of God, amen, an old movie. And I put it on and I'm watching just when Jesus speaks and he's with his disciples and he breaks bread and he says certain things to them. And it's so powerful. And I've heard him say these things so many times, but it just hits you right in your inside. Amen. And it just, you know, just to know that he says these things that have got such great meaning. But until you start to walk with him and have relationship and intimacy with him, you'll never really understand what it's all about. As you walk with God and grow in relationship with him, every time you look back at the cross, you will see something new every single time. Amen. Amen. Jesus came to give us a hope. He came to give us a future. And John 14:6, we all know the scripture. But when Jesus says this, it is so powerful. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him. Amen. There are all kinds of different religions and all kinds of different gods. And some of them think we can go through this way to get to God and that way to get to God. But there's only one way. Amen. And that way is through Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Amen. If you know, there are many facts And when you study the crucifixion and you study the fact that there was over 500 men that saw Jesus after the resurrection, the fact that his dying cannot be denied, the fact that the facts are all there. Amen. But there's so much more than the facts, because it can't be denied. When you start to walk with him and you understand what really took place that day on Calvary, and you understand that he made a promise to you that he would walk with you, he would send his spirit, and his spirit would dwell inside you, you'll understand something, that there's something living inside you. There's something breathing inside you. Never mind the fact that calendars changed. Never mind the fact that there's undeniable evidence. Never mind the fact that everything revolves around AD, BC, whatever C. There's something, there's someone that lives inside me, that breathes inside me, and I can't deny it. Amen. But we have to look back to the cross, because that's where it all happened. Amen. So let's go to Mark 15, verse number 16. Mark 15, verse number 16. Then the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole garrison. And they clothed him with purple. And they twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews. Then they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him. And bowing the knee, they worshipped him. And when he had, and when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. Then they compelled a certain man, Simon, the Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. And they brought him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of the skull. Then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the inscription of his accusation was written above, the King of the Jews. With him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, aha, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also mocking among themselves with the scribes said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. Even those who were crucified with him reviled him. Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood by, when they heard that, said, look, he is calling for Elijah. Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine, put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink, saying, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to take him down. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So then the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last. And he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Amen. Amen. We get so busy and caught up with our lives and church and different things and different doctrines and all this different stuff, and it's all good. Amen. But we very quickly and easily forget about the cross. and the significance and the power of the cross. Because that's what everything and our whole belief system, and guys, if it wasn't for the cross, we who are actually Gentiles would have absolutely no hope. Amen? So never ever become familiar with the power and the sacrifice that took place on that cross. Every single step of the journey on that cross was fulfilling prophecy. And everything that took place from them not breaking his legs to every single little incident that took place was astounding. How perfect it happened to the sign on top of his head. It was unbelievable. There's just too much significance for it to be coincidence. It has to be God incidence. Amen. It has to be. So it's just, if you study it and you study prophecy and you look at what took place on the cross from that whole journey, from when they came to arrest him all the way up to his last breath, is just absolutely mind-blowing. Amen. So we should never ever forget the great sacrifice and the price that was paid. And we'll have a look at some of the things that took place on Calvary in just a minute. But one thing we must understand is that Jesus was not killed. He gave his life. Yes, they came to arrest him, but he gave his life. And he gave it willingly. John 10:18 says this. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. He gave his life willingly. He knew long before he went to the cross exactly what was going to take place. And he gave his life willingly so that we would have a hope, so that we would have a future, so that we would have life. Amen. On the cross, many things took place. But one of the things was that Jesus was punished that we might be forgiven. Can you say amen? Amen. Isaiah 53, verse number 4, in the New Living Translation says, yet it was, now this is all prophecy, yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God. A punishment of his own sins. Amen. He was punished so we could be forgiven. He was punished so we could be forgiven. Jesus was wounded that we might be healed. Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Amen. So not only are we forgiven, but we are also healed. Amen. We can also be healed. Amen. God still heals today. That's like really good news. Amen. That same resurrection power that raises him out of the grave now lives inside every single one of us. And by his stripes, we are still healed. Amen. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. We haven't got the rhema yet. We haven't heard yet. And we don't understand. You see, you can take the word of God and you can read something. And you may hear, by his stripes, you are healed. And we go, amen. And it's good to go, amen. But until you understand that when he died on that cross, there is healing for you. Only when you get understanding, only when you begin to hear, only when you understand that he really died and he rose out of that grave, and that same power, when he touched the guy's ear, when he touched the soldier's ear and it got healed, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, all the different things that he did, you now have in you. But you must understand this. You have to get revelation. You have to begin to hear. Amen. We have the Holy Spirit now, so we can do this. Amen. Amen. He was made sin so that we could become righteous. Now, this is very powerful. Isaiah 53, verses 10 to 11 says this. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous. For he will bear all their sins. It's because of his righteousness, guys. This is something that we have to get a hearing and understanding of. We must grasp this concept. In order for us to walk successfully as Christians, you must recognize that Jesus was the innocent Lamb of God that went to the cross with no sin, gave his life willingly. Why did he do that? He did it because there was no other way that we with our sin could walk and be forgiven. And we could not do it unless he gave his life, which was an innocent life. So what happens is this, there's an exchange that takes place. On the cross, your sin gets taken by him who had no sin. So he gives you his no sin. And he says that you are innocent. You cannot be righteous. Because whether you like to believe it or not, my brother, you will sin again. You will sin again, you sinner, you. You will sin. That doesn't mean we want to sin. Because we seek his righteousness. But we are made righteous because he was righteous. So it's not of our righteousness. The Bible says, I think I shared this with the Bible college, with the guys in the e-course, I think. That our righteousness is like filthy rags. That's a really nasty thing. Okay? Our righteousness is like filthy rags. But because of his righteousness, we are made righteous. So even when we try, our righteousness is still filthy. But that doesn't mean we mustn't seek righteousness. Amen? We must seek his righteousness. Always seek it. But what makes you righteous is his righteousness. So you become his righteousness. Amen. And this is the greatest news. I mean, we can have revival on that right there. Right there. Because he's forgiven you. And you are innocent. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." 1 Peter 2:24 says this, "He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Amen. It's his righteousness now that keeps us going. You are a son and a daughter of God. When you give your life to him, he adopts you. When you walk with him and you make mistakes, because you will, okay? You don't become less a son and daughter of God. You are still his son and daughter. That doesn't mean that we mustn't repent when we mess up. That doesn't mean we must walk and seek righteousness. We must. But we never ever, we stay his child, amen. We stay his children, and it's so awesome. And as we seek his righteousness, he lifts us up all the time. Amen. You don't have to walk around with a stick beating yourself every time you mess up. I don't like it when I mess up though. Amen. I don't want to mess up though. It's like a real relationship. Isn't that amazing? Don't make it not real. It's real. If you have an earthly father, and I'd like you to try when you do something that hurts him or upsets him, to just walk in the room the next morning and say, well, you know, how's it going, Pops? Well, I'm your son, so you just need to forgive me. No. We need to always go to him with a humble heart and a humble spirit. Amen. We can't do it without him. Hallelujah. All right. All right. We'll preach some more on that another day. All right. So it's because of him and that sacrifice that we have this exchange. He takes our sins. He takes our transgressions. He takes our sickness. He takes our shame. He takes our death. And he gives us the opposite. And that is the greatest news. Amen. That gives you a future and a hope forever. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to read to you something that most of you know this scripture. If you don't know this scripture, you're not going to heaven. Amen. Okay. I'm just kidding. Okay. But really, you should know the scripture. Okay. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay. I believe you. You know it. Amen. Now, isn't that absolutely beautiful? Doesn't that have so much meaning? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Greater love, there is no greater love than this, for you to lay down your life for his friend. And he laid his life down for us. But I want to show you something. Watch this. That's John 3:16. Now watch this. Let's go to 1 John 3:16. You may call this coincidence. I call it God incidence. By this, we know love, because he laid down his life for us. Now let's go back quickly to the previous verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now in this verse, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. Isn't that powerful? Now watch. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, for each other. Your greatest treasure is the people around you. I remember I was driving one Sunday, I just had Joshua, my little son, was born. And I was driving home, I think I went to drop off Annie or something, and I was driving. And I said to the Lord, Father, you've really blessed me. You've given me such amazing treasures. My children, they're like treasures to me. And immediately I felt the Spirit of the Lord say to me, that's how I feel about every single one of my children. And the Bible says that, you know, we shouldn't look for treasures here. But our treasures will be up there. All right, you can take nothing up there with you. But every life that you touch is a treasure. And every life that you affect and that you show love to and that you show, listen to me, I didn't say religion. I said love. I said show the love of Jesus. Show the life of Jesus. Show the compassion of Jesus. When someone messes up, you may want to give him a good clout. That's fine. Give him the clout, but then pick him up and love him. Amen. Love him back into the kingdom. Amen. That's right. I do give them a good smack every now and then. Amen. That's the greatest love. Can you imagine that God, the creator of everything, God is outside of everything we can possibly fathom. He's outside of space and time and matter. That God came down in the flesh to die for you, to give you a future and a hope. And all he's asking for in return is that you love him with all of your heart. And lay your life down for him and for everyone you come in touch with, so that you can pass on what he's given you. He's given you such an incredible gift. He's given you life. He's given you love. He's given you relationship. Now give it to somebody else. Love everyone you come in contact with. Give them what you have. You are so blessed. I am so blessed. And every year, and as I grow with him and discover more about him and the way he is and the way he operates, and I hear his voice more and I become more sensitive to him and I begin to hear him more and I begin to see things differently. I don't read the Bible anymore the way I used to. It's changed. I don't know how, but it has. So now when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I begin to weep. Because I understand that if it wasn't for him, there would be no way. There would be no truth. There would be no life. But because of him, I have found the way. I know the truth. And I have life living inside of me. Amen. And so do you. You have him living inside of you. You have Christ living inside of you. You have a future. You have a hope. And it's all because of the cross. It's all because of the cross. Let's stand up and give him a shout. Let's stand up and give him a clap of praise. Why? Because we can. Why? Because he's awesome. Why? Because we love him. Jesus! Yeah! So good. Okay, sit down. Amen. You guys are so awesome. Amen. Amen. If you're visiting, this is normal. This is what we do. Listen, we love him. We get excited about him. Do you know that God laughs? Do you know that he gets excited, that he cries? There's scriptures for all these things. But we've taken all the life out of the Bible. How is that even possible? When he is the life. If there's no life in you, oh, no, brother. It's not good. Amen. Amen. So tonight in this place, we are going to take communion together. Amen. This is a very special communion. We're doing it together on this Good Friday, on the day that we remember that our Jesus died to give us everything we have, to give us this freedom to come and worship together, to give us life, to give us hope, to give us all that stuff. Amen? So they've gone to get the communion elements, and we're going to go in the Bible in a few minutes to Luke 22, verse 14. Amen. You guys can start handing out the elements. Amen. 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 And while they're handing out the elements, tonight as we take communion together, please wait. Don't take the communion elements. We're going to take them together. The Bible says that we should wait for one another. Amen. And even now, as they begin to hand out the elements, let's all begin to reflect on where we are right now. And we have made it this far. Amen. And God has gotten us through so many things. He's saved our soul. He's brought us to this place. We have eternal life. Amen. But the fact is that no one here deserves forgiveness. No one here deserves to be saved, actually, because actually without the blood, we would all be guilty, right? Can you all say amen? Amen. So the Bible says that when we take communion and when we remember the Lord, that in that moment, it's so important for us to think about our lives, to examine our lives. And the reason why he does that is because in this moment, you remember what has been done for you, that he died for you, that he bled for you, that he gave his life for you so that you would be forgiven even when you didn't deserve it. And in this moment, the Bible says that we should examine ourselves. And if there's anything in your heart, if there's anyone that you need to forgive, the Bible says that there's no greater love than this, than to lay down your life for your friend. And he says there that we should love one another as he has loved us. Amen. And that the same way that he gave his life for us, we should give our lives for each other. There may be someone or something that's happened to you, and you may even have the right to be angry at them. But the same way that he forgave you when you didn't deserve it, you should forgive this evening in this place, whoever it is that has hurt you. And so when we come together and we remember the great sacrifice that Jesus made, we think on our lives. We forgive everyone who's hurt us. We forgive everyone who sinned against us. Why? So that we can also be forgiven. Amen? So that our hearts can be free. God is interested in your heart above all else. He loves you. And when you carry around hurt or anger or anguish in your heart, you get messed up. Amen? So take this minute to think about your life. Think about what you may need to forgive. And at the same time, guys, think about how wonderful God is and what he's done for you and what he's done for us. Amen? Let's take a moment and just remember that this evening. Father, right now in this place, firstly, we thank you so much for giving us a hope and a future, for forgiving us, for dying on that cross. Lord Jesus, we thank you. How will we ever be able to thank you enough? And so as we remember your sacrifice, we also make a decision tonight in this place to forgive anyone who sinned against us. We forgive them, we forgive ourselves, and we release it tonight in this place, remembering that you have paid a price that you didn't deserve to pay for our sins. And so we thank you for it. We love you for it, and we will never forget it. And every time we take communion, Father, we will remember this sacrifice. The sacrifice of your blood that gave us life and a hope and a future. We love you, we praise you, and we worship you together tonight as we take communion in a minute in Jesus' precious name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. And I'm going to read out of Luke 22:14-20. And this is Jesus addressing his disciples. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God has come. And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Everyone take the bread and remember his body that was broken for us. Amen. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Let's all take the blood and take it together. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you. And it is such a privilege to be able to be on this night, the night that we remember your great sacrifice. And we even think back of that night with the Passover night with the disciples. And Father, now for generations, we continue to remember the sacrifice by taking the bread and taking the cup together. I pray, Father, that you will bless these precious people that came out tonight to honor you and to remember you. Father, we do it because we want to, because we love you. And so, Father, we thank you. We love you. We cannot thank you enough for the price that you have paid. All the glory, all the honor, and all the praise belongs to you. Father, you are good. You are worthy. You are awesome and powerful and wonderful. And Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you are the way. You are the truth and the life. And you make a way for us to once again have fellowship and communion and relationship with our awesome God, our awesome Father. And so we thank you tonight in this place. We thank you and we love you. Father, I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the communion with the Spirit be with every person as they go home this evening. And we celebrate this weekend, not only the death, but also the resurrection. Bring us back together on Sunday. For those traveling, protect them on the roads, Father, as they go to visit their families and spend Resurrection Sunday with their families. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Father. We love you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. And everyone said, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.